here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Blimey, that wound them up, Zoe. We've got 1,000 tweets there talking about all the things that you raised, and we'll work our way through. I've also got some tweets coming in for you, Gary.
Excellent.
Some interesting questions, and we're going to talk to Gary shortly. I'll do an official introduction to him in a moment. And we've got some tweets that are some interesting questions that are generally based on internet things, but quite an apposite thing. We need to try and catch up with some of this stuff, though, Jules, because you've been talking too much. That's the problem.
Have I?
Yeah.
About mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got loads and loads. So my lovely friend, Terry Roffey, who he actually put my burger alarm in.
He did mine too.
Did he do yours as well?
Yeah, he did.
At Fruitworks?
Or, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Well, both at Fruitworks and my one at home.
Very, very good. And cameras and stuff, because we had our catalytic converter stolen, which was really annoying. And there's a spate of it across the UK. So he says, Terry Roffey says, hello, Jules, Paul and Zoe. And he doesn't really know about you yet, but he will know soon, Gary.
I'm not offended.
Don't
it's
get
fine.
Offended. Gary's coming on next to talk about cybersecurity.
If we've got any time left after Jules has finished this.
And he says it's very interesting, Paul Andrews, listening about relationships versus spam messages.
Yeah.
Why would I buy from someone I had just met or had a LinkedIn request when I don't even know them, he says, with a smiley face.
Yep.
So I agree. And then Tracy Ferguson, have you read that? She says, always such brilliant advice from Zoe. Engagement is key. Build your relationships. Support your community. Great final tip too. Understand why you use the platform, what you want to achieve and how it can work for you. The little hashtag strategy.
Oh, thank you, Tracy.
And Dedicate Recruitment, they're also on. They say, great show as always. Talking point, taking points on social media and converting it to real business. So thank you, Zoe Cairns. I think they're writing it down as you speak, Zoe. Who else? Oh, Gareth Cairns. Do you know him?
Never heard of him.
I've never heard of him before.
He says, could we have a shout-out for our next free social media academy, which is on the 19th of March, 2:30 p.m. at the Bridgewood Manor. Book your place by visiting Zoe at zcsocialmedia.com. We will.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about this. It's back, the Networkers Networking event.
Hooray!
It's back. It's coming back on Wednesday the 18th of March from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and it's taking place at Eastwell Manor, which is here in Ashford.
Great little venue.
It's a fabulous venue. It really is gorgeous. It's a full day event. It's all about networking to help business owners to understand how to make their networking more effective and efficient. We all know networking is one of the best methods for making new connections, meeting other business owners, starting great collaborations, gaining new clients, and subsequently ensuring that your business builds and grows. But do you know how to be the most effective and efficient with your time whilst networking? Join us to learn more. The theme of the first event is marketing, and the day will include two speakers, the lovely Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant, top tips to marketing your business for free, and then Mike Hacker, who we all know as Hacks. What?
Nothing. It's just Gary and I having a little private joke.
About?
I'll tell you off air.
You think I just made a mess of what I just said, didn't you?
Did you notice as well?
Yeah.
I think there might have been a T there.
It wasn't as bad as NBC's little faux pas,
what
was it?
What was that? I didn't know.
Over Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
Mike Hacker, otherwise known as Hacks of Prisma Broadcast, capturing great video footage for your marketing. Networking activity, you'll be solving clues and puzzles. Yeah.
Oh.
It's with a team building company, Escape on Site.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. And there's some round tables to discuss business subjects. The last time they did that, it was brilliant.
See, a round table would fit nicely into your new office.
Yeah.
But
that was really brilliant. The last event, it was one of the most useful things that they did was the round table.
Love
sessions.
A round table.
And there's lots of networking. You can book and join us for the full day. Or if you prefer, you can book without lunch and pop in when it suits you. The tickets start from £15, and there's an early bird booking available as well. To find out more, go to www.evexio.co.uk/what's on. evexio.co.uk/what's on.
It's always a great event. The other one that, do you mind if I just mention?
No,
go for it. Murphy's Women in Business show. That was brilliant last year.
Yep, absolutely.
And she had such a great turnout.
I love Sian. Yeah, she makes me roar with laughter when I hear her.
And she's one of my best friends, Sian.
She's lovely.
She loves wine and cheese.
Yeah,
you know, how better
exactly.
can it get? But anyway, Women Women in Business show, 24th of July this year.
Fantastic. I think she tweeted about it earlier when I get to it. I'll get to it. I'll read out. There's also Jobs in Kent has launched a new simple CV template. You can use a simple CV if you haven't got a full CV yet, or you can use simple CV alongside your main CV. Best of all, it's free and easy to use, and you can set it up in minutes. And in fact, you might find that eventually it will replace your CV because it's just a highly targeted document. If you want to find out more, it's totally free. jobsinkent.com/simple CV.
That makes sense as well. The amount of paper we print out and...
Absolutely. Well, the point of it is so many people don't understand how to apply for a job anymore.
Yeah.
So they just write a blanket general purpose CV.
Yeah.
And most people don't want to see that. What this does is it makes you highlight why you are relevant to the job you're applying for. And that's all you need to say, really, is I want your job because I can do it and this is why. Basically.
Exactly.
So it helps you. It's exactly as you were saying, Zoe, with social media marketing.
Yeah.
It's thinking through the purpose of what you're doing. And rather than having just a general purpose document that you send to an employer and says, you find the relevant bits in that that makes me fit, this is saying, what's your job? Why does it suit me? Why do I seat you?
And
here's the reasons.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's great.
Cool. I've had Romney Resource Centre.
Hello.
Who have tweeted, hi, Paul. I hope you're having a great show today. We're running a fully funded manual handling training course. Oh, you'd like that, Jules.
Yeah, I would.
Bit of manual handling.
I do.
Yeah. What's on Tuesday the 17th of March, and there are still lots of places left. Contact us to book your place, 01797 367 455. That's 01797 367 455.
And you can find the Marsh Breakfast Networking, talking of that area. Mm-hmm. And it is the next one is the 30th of January, and then there's one on the 27th of February or the 26th of March. They're at 7:45 to 9:15 at the Ship Inn.
Where?
Gary, I was very careful there.
Very careful.
Because Gary's listening to every word we say, Paul Andrews.
Yep.
It's at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch, which is 118 the High Street, and your sat nav is T for Tiger, N for Norman, 29, O, N for Norman, S for Sugar.
But Jules has her own phonetic alphabet.
It's much better.
I'm from Yorkshire, so I can't really comment.
Oh, we haven't said anything Yorkshire.
Timmy Taylors.
We do like Timmy Taylors.
We do.
Gary.
In our clogs and whip it. Yeah.
I'm not sure clogs is quite right.
No,
I think that's Holland, darling. I don't think Yorkshire is about clogs. Tetley, maybe. Tetley.
It's a well-known fact that Yorkshire people wore clogs until very recently.
Yeah, about half nine this morning.
Exactly. They take them off as they come south.
Yeah.
Take off.
It's true.
Take them off,
But Timmy Taylor's, I do like.
Your Welsh accent's rubbish. Right, I've had a tweet from IPS International. And they said, Vanilla Web, it would be great for a shout-out on the show today for IPS Apprenticeships, who are supporting the National Apprenticeship Week next week. Give them a follow. IPS International, their Twitter handle is IPSINT, all one word.
And we love an apprentice on this show.
Yeah, and IPS are based in Medway, and they handle... They're basically an engineering company, but they handle all kinds of apprenticeships, and they're an apprenticeship training company, and they're also a fantastic source of information about anything to do with apprenticeships. Mm. If you're an employer that wants to know how to do it, call them. If you're a parent who's trying to help their youngsters get into apprenticeships, call them. Mm. If you're a student or indeed any age and you want to do an apprenticeship, call them. They have loads and loads of information and knowledge, and they are always happy to help.
It's got to be the way forward with the student loans. I mean, my youngest is paying 6% back his student loan. He's 24.
Yeah.
So he's got a mortgage. He's paying rent in London. He's got a mortgage in Whitstable where he's bought a buy-to-let, and he's paying a 6% student loan at 24. It's not really a life, is it?
No.
Shouldn't have gone to university. Waste of money.
He really enjoyed it. He drank lots of shots.
I'm sure he did, yeah. Well, it serves them right. They've got to pay for it
now. Lots of shots. But a 6%, that's what... I don't mind paying for it, but not a 6%. It's wrong.
Because you're paying for all the people that aren't paying for it.
Yeah, I know. It's rather a lot that aren't.
I've been tweeted by Operational Accounting Systems, commonly known as Oasis.
Yay!
And they say, Paul and Jules, hope you're having an awesome day. And lovely to hear from your great guests. Please give the team at Oasis a shout out for always being spectacular.
Aww. But do they know that I get a bit uppity about the word awesome if it's used?
Yeah, that's why they've used it.
They've done it to annoy me.
That's why they've used it three times.
Yeah.
They've said you're especially awesome, yeah. Jules.
Well, awesome is going up to the moon. It is not listening to us. We are spectacular, I agree, but not awesome.
And my icky guy have been on as well.
Yeah. Vegan.
Yeah.
Vegan, gorgeous. Lovely Bruce.
Have a super show. You've got some great guests on. Please give the customers of Food Junkies a big shout out on the show. We're sold out at Ashford's first vegan market at the Coachworks. So come see on the 22nd of February what you're missing.
I frolicked with him at the Ashford Business Awards, actually, Bruce. Lovely Bruce.
It's Bruce Kidd, yeah.
I don't know why I want to do an Australian, because he's South African. Isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to do Australian when I met him first.
It's the name, Bruce. Yeah. Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, because he's called Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He really should have a South African
name. He's lovely, Bruce.
Bruce is lovely. And
all our listeners are lovely.
Yeah, they are.
Lovely show.
Yeah. He does vegan sausage rolls, which me, I don't get on with that.
How many do you eat?
No, I won't eat any.
Oh, because it's probably got soy in. I won't eat. I have to be really careful.
No, you can't. But the one argument I have with vegans is stop calling things after meat. You don't like meat, so don't call it meat. Yeah, don't. You know, it's like the vegan chicken burger. There's no such thing.
Exactly.
There's not. You know, it's a vegan burger.
Call it a kale burger or a hamburger.
Bruce, about this though, the amount of stuff that people are substituting it for that they're eating, the amount of
it's like a chemical reason
I know is really scary. And I'm saying this to Bruce about
eat real. Well, this is what I was saying about
real food
fat. But you see how Paul was terrified when I said that I cook my eggs in lamb fat. It is, my lamb is organic and it's the perfect food to fry, and it's
natural. Seeing the pictures of Bruce's stuff, they're actually cooking real food, real veg.
It's lovely food, and I don't have any problem with vegan food, and I don't have any problem with people that want to be vegan. My big beef, see what I did there? My big beef is calling things that have no meat in it after meat products. Yeah. If you've chosen to be vegan, leave our labels alone, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a kale burger. It's not a chicken vegan
burger.
I just
remember that on Twitter especially, and Zoe, you'll probably back me up, there's an awful lot of fighting going on between the carnivores. I'm a carnivore. And between the vegans, and just let people eat what suits them.
I know. It's like religion, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can all choose what we want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If meat and veg suits you, which is what it suits my thyroid, then leave me alone. Don't, scream at me because I'm eating a lamb chop.
Yeah.
And, if you're a vegan, fab. If you're a fruitarian, fab.
Yeah.
But don't kill each other on Twitter.
It's not fair.
Yeah, especially on Twitter. I'd like to speak to Gary Hibbard, of cybersecurity.
I'm going to in a minute. I'm just trying to find a tweet. Can you read one more tweet or email, and then we're going to talk to Gary?
I just do everything, Gary.
Yeah, you do.
Rye networking over coffee. You wouldn't know where Rye is because you're from up north. 18th of February, 9:30 to 12 o'clock GMT, and it's the King's Head Inn in Rye. I don't suppose they serve Timmy Taylor's there. But there is a pub in Faversham, which is now...
Read the thing.
That did serve Timmy Taylor's here in Faversham.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which was great. Anyway, so this, the King's Head Inn in Rye, it's the 18th of February or the 17th of March. And if you want to go there, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh-network to book. And I'll read you the sat nav. It's T for Timmy Taylor, N for Norman, 317. N for Norman and H for Harry.
In her phonetic alphabet, she does T for pterodactyl as well. there's a great gif here. Have you seen the gif from Amanda?
Well, I always call it a gif.
Oh, gif, I don't care.
What is it?
It's a mushroom twerking.
Oh, no. Yeah. How long has she been rummaging around looking for that all morning? But my mushroom does not twerk, Amanda.
I love that, Amanda.
But with a little bit of bacon on it, it's gorgeous.
Actually, Amanda's used quite a lot of gifs today.
Yeah.
She does. We normally have a bit of a gif war going on. Do you know what? I'm going to give up. I'm going to find that in a minute because I want to introduce Gary. He's been waiting patiently and we need to talk to him because we've got a lot to talk about. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back for the second time onto the Business Monkey Show, Mr. Gary Hibbard. Gary is from Cyberfort and they are guys that specialise in security.
Correct.
Amongst other things. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that and other things. And just to show that this show isn't thrown together randomly, it is, in fact, National Data Security Day today.
Oh.
Data Privacy Day.
Data Privacy Day. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's lucky that, no, it's not lucky because we planned it.
We planned this. Yeah, yeah. This was absolutely planned.
Gary, why don't you kick off first by telling us a little bit about Cyberfort as a company and as a group, Cyberfort Group, and the kind of things you do and a bit of the history to it, and then we'll talk about the other stuff from there.
Okay. So Cyberfort is a cybersecurity company, as you mentioned. Essentially what we do is we offer a number of things, products and services. It's a cybersecurity company at its heart. We look at offering people advice and guidance. That's a big part of what we do. So we have consultants, we have documentation, information that's freely available. The consultants aren't freely available, unfortunately. But the at the heart of what we do is everything cybersecurity related. We also have very technical teams of people who offer things like pen testing, penetration tests, vulnerability assessments. That is essentially, we're going to come and take a look at your systems and show you how strong you are, show you the strengths and show you the weaknesses. But also we're going to help you understand what those vulnerabilities mean. We also have something called The Bunker, which is the reason really why I'm sat here, because the guys over in Ash asked me to come along and speak to you and said, you know, guys, there's a great radio station there. You know, we've got a great platform to be able to explain who The Bunker are. And it's a data center that we have there. And we also have one over in Newbury as well.
Let's just quickly talk about The Bunker, because it's a fantastic place. It is, in fact, a nuclear or an ex-nuclear bunker, isn't it?
Is it actually a bunker?
It is actually a bunker, So I was going to absolutely that. So I was going to say it is an ex-Cold War bunker. It's a highly impressive building. You were talking about your building, Zoe, earlier.
So very secure,
the history,
no doubt.
Extremely secure.
Yeah, secure.
It's about as secure as it can be. And if you're into technology, it's a fantastic place to visit because, as data centres are, you know, it's a really interesting place. But just from a historical point of view, it's fantastic as well. Mm. In terms of the history, how Cyberfort came about, very briefly, we were separate companies. So there were consultants up in Yorkshire, which is obviously where I'm from.
Don't tell Jules.
Ayo.
That Welsh accent again. We had a pen testing business that was born out of the mind of the CEO of Cyberfort, Andy Haig. And we had the bunker, and it was really three organisations that came together with a fourth from London called Auriga. And all these companies together form Cyberfort Group. And this is what, you know, created the end-to-end cybersecurity and the advice and the guidance and the detection of problems and the defense of your valuables, which is obviously nowadays, you know, the data is probably the most valuable asset that any organization has.
Gary, you're a professor, aren't you?
I'm the professor of communicating cyber. Wow. So what that essentially means is that I can speak about cybersecurity to quite literally five-year-olds all the way up to students and beyond, explaining fairly technical topics in a way that people understand. So I speak on the topic, I write on the topic, etc. Yeah,
cool. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, that as technology evolves, we become more and more susceptible to things too, because one of the beauties of technology is it makes life easy, it connects you to things, but of course if you then lose control of it, it's easy to get taken to the cleaners too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was interesting hearing Zoe talk earlier about, you know, about having a story, having a message, and all these different platforms, and I absolutely agree with everything you've said. But we are living in a world where we are bombarded with information, you know, information obesity. We have access to more data, and we are creating more data than we ever have in human history. And in technical terms, we call that, you know, the attack surface has extended and expanded at such a rate now that we have to be more vigilant about where we could possibly be vulnerable.
Yep.
So we need to make sure that we are protecting ourselves at every turn.
Absolutely. And increasingly, there are more and more ways of people getting us, and some of them aren't actually very sophisticated at all, really, are they? They're just scam mails.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned it earlier about receiving messages from a legitimate source saying to you, you know, your order for your furniture hasn't arrived yet, but we can deliver it on X date. I know of a story of an organisation who actually were hacked, and they provided furniture, and they actually had all of their order book stolen, and actually scammers were getting in touch with their customers and saying, we can actually deliver your furniture earlier than expected. Here's a link. Please click on this link.
Oh, gosh.
And then victims were clicking on those links, providing their payment details, etc. But it wasn't the actual furniture company. Oh, it was someone else.
Well, I think we've all sort of been... certainly, I've put things in emails and that, and then I've had loads of emails back about whatever that subject is that I've, you know, say I've been looking at a camera, I suddenly get loads of emails about Canon SEO, ESO and things. I don't know how that happens, but it's a bit spooky.
Yeah, I mean, that type of thing, whether it's an email or whether you're looking at it online, if you're looking at it online, that's a different thing. That's kind of into the world of Zoe's in terms of social media and how platforms are actually monetized. So your data has a value. You know, on data privacy day, we need to be thinking about what that value is. So when you search for something on one platform, the reason it will pop up on another is because they're sharing that information. That's how they're making their money. Are the product.
Just while we're talking about that, my view on this, and I'd just be quickly interested in your view on this, is that although technology companies, the platforms can do that, I think increasingly it's alienating more customers by keep doing it.
Yeah.
It drives me potty. I look at something on Amazon and then for the next 2 days I get inundated with it. And, you know, if I was going to buy it, I would have bought it, or I might even have bought it. And then just keep showing me what I've just done. It's just, I'll go away. Just leave me alone.
This is all based down to us accepting the cookies, right?
Yeah.
In terms of that we're accepting cookies on that particular website in order for us giving that data for it to then follow.
Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest waste of life was the EU ruling that says you have to ask if I want to take cookies every time. That's where my productivity's going, I've read it, I accept it, send me a...
I've got bad news for you.
Yeah.
It's all changing.
Yeah, I'm sure,
Yeah, so...
When?
Well, it's due to change this year. It has been said that it's going to be changing. It was meant to change in 2018 and 19, but because of... things that are happening on Friday, the B word. No one's mentioned it yet.
I forgot to mention the B word.
The rules are changing around data protection and GDPR. Certainly towards the back end of this year, but certainly cookie law and the rules there are changing.
Yeah.
But you're right. But the interesting thing is, and again, so you'll probably know the numbers better than I. But on Facebook, for instance. It only takes Facebook 35 likes to know you better than a work colleague.
Yeah.
If you like more than 100 things, it knows you better than your partner. So therefore, when we talk about things like Facebook, presenting these ads to us, Facebook and other social media platforms are actually mind reading because they are saying you've liked these things, so therefore you must like these things.
There was a program on it recently. What was the program called?
Oh, it was on Netflix. Netflix.
Yeah, it was scary, absolutely scary. And I watched it and thought, right, I'm leaving Facebook. I'm leaving everything.
Basically, enemy of the state became true. Right?
Yeah, I mean, are you referring to the Great Hack?
Yes.
So the Great Hack. Yeah. So that's a good example of how third parties are using data that Facebook is providing and then being able to manipulate people. So
that was scary.
But Facebook has done that for a number of years. Emotional contagion, as it's called.
And they were using it for voting, weren't they? So Trump, for example.
Allegedly.
It didn't start with Trump. Obama used it before him.
But he's handsome. We don't mind about
Obama. So that was all right.
Yeah, but,
I saw this the other day. This was a spoof, obviously. It said, Google, we're hiring. Don't bother to apply, because we already know that you're applying and we already know what you can do, and we'll let you know if you've got the job.
Yeah.
Because it was with the Trump thing, allegedly, it was they were looking at the people that they could persuade.
Yes.
They had a special name for it.
The Persuaders.
The Persuaders.
So, yeah. So I think
in whole think towns, was wasn't it? Whole
yeah,
swathes.
So yeah, persuadables. I think something along those lines. But essentially, that you know, there's no point trying to influence those individuals who are you know hard fast voters for left or right. Mm. What they wanted is those people who were the in between, as the people who were persuadable and they needed to be able to sway them one way or the other. But Facebook have been doing that kind of thing.
It's just basic advertising. That's what we do as businesses. That's
yeah,
entirely,
absolutely.
You know.
What was the program called? The Hack?
The Great Hack.
The Great Hack. Watch it.
But
it's
amazing. It was Cambridge Analytica is the organisation that was
right.
Embroiled in all of this, you know, this situation. Mm. But they've been using data, or we've been using data in the same way for many years, as you rightly say, Paul. Mm. It's just marketing, really.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they do that? That's the key thing.
Yeah. So at the moment, there's so many routes into this, and it's kind of hard to know where to start. But basically, I think most of us, as individuals, our security is potentially breached through things like phishing scams and email scams.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that run businesses with websites, we stand a chance of getting our website hacked.
Social media, of course.
Yeah, getting your account hacked, which is the standard excuse for everybody that posts anything stupid. I got hacked. One of my pet beefs, one of my big pet beefs, is password management. I find it such a nightmare now. I must have
with all the
2,000 passwords.
Yeah.
And at my age, I can't remember them all.
Or any age, even if you're young.
But one of the things that also drives me potty is there are a few organisations, you know, once upon a time, you forgot my password.
Yeah.
Now they won't let you, they just go, okay, we've reset it. And you go, but I still don't know what my password is. Yeah. And that's okay when you've got tools that, you know, like your phone or whatever, where you go into the same site every time without logging off. But then you log off one day and you've got no idea how to get back into anything. Mm-hmm. And with things like Apple, for instance, not naming people, but you're the worst Apple, is you can't do anything. So, for instance, I can't use iCloud. And the reason I can't use iCloud is when I very first got an iPhone, I set up an iCloud account and I don't remember the password. And therefore, I can never have an iCloud account.
There's no way you can retrieve it.
No, there's no way I can retrieve it. I can't get it back. And every time I try and set up a new account, they go, no, you've already got one. That's it. Locked out.
Yeah, I mean, it is a common problem. And I would love to say I was sat here right now with the solution to it.
Mm.
But it's been a problem for
for
as long as I've been involved in technology and cybersecurity. I think it comes down to having those fail safes. So making sure that you've got approach to, you know, if you do have to reset your password, that you've got those key phrases or,
you know
questions.
The email, you set it up with, which is
absolutely.
Key.
You know, there are password managers. There are tools that you can use.
I'm laughing because you know the story I told about DFS earlier. I had an even better one with a certain mobile phone company beginning with V, Vodafone. I had a problem. I rang them and they went, we want to go through your personal data so that we know, you know, it's you. So they go, what's your date of birth? So I told them, I went, no, it's wrong. I went, I know I was when I was born, I was there. And they went, no, it's wrong. They had recorded the wrong information. Yeah.
Yeah, that's human error, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're going to
Well, my son's passport is actually misspelt. His middle name is his first name is Shea.
Yeah.
His middle name is Sebastian, and they spelt the Sebastian with an A instead of a G.
That's my whole point. Where you know all of these systems fall apart when there's an error somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, an exceptional error.
Yeah.
It happens. But then there's no way out of it. You know, nobody applies any common sense to any of this, and that's what drives me nuts. But I think if there's anyone out there that's at all innovative, if you could solve the security issue of passwords by having something much more user-friendly.
Well, that's Gary Hibbard. Yeah. He'll do that.
We're trying to get around it by obviously using biometrics, you know, thumbprints, and we've talked about facial recognition and such, and now voice recognition and such. So there are, you know, steps being taken to try and improve these things.
Yeah.
You know, having two-factor authentication, you know, meaning that you've got it's something you have or something that you know. So your PIN code and your credit card is an example of a two-factor authentication. So there's lots of steps being taken to do these things. But at the end of the day, your password is your key to your accounts. There has to be a mechanism to get into these things.
And so, but then for me, that is entirely its failure, because like most people, I'm going to go, do you know what? If I use the same password for everything, I'm going to remember it. Mm-hmm. And therefore we start to create our own problems purely by, you know, the fact that you
trying
can't
to make life simpler.
Yeah, you can't remember all of your passwords, and then that gets messed up because certain people go, no, you have to have an uppercase character and a number, or it must be.
And then certain websites, like a bank one, won't let you use an exclamation mark.
I had one which was brilliant. They said, what's your mother's maiden name? And I typed it, and they went, no, it must be a minimum of 6 characters. Well, should I get her to change her name? You know, it's ridiculous.
This is it. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think certainly what we try to do at Cyberfor is try to simplify these things wherever possible, because it is the minute you start building in complexity, you start to build insecurities into the system.
Exactly.
So you're absolutely right. You know, we are humans, and, you know, humans look for the least, you know, the least difficult. That's what human nature is. You know, we don't want to make things harder on ourselves. So consequently, we look for the path of least resistance. So we use the same password on lots of different sites and such. We share those passwords with other people so that they can use it in the event of us not being around.
Did you see that one yesterday? Somebody posted on Twitter. I don't know how true it was. Somebody posted it on Twitter and they went, I do not believe this. I've just walked into my office and seen this. And on the notice board, somebody had pinned a piece of paper and it said, we're fed up with you keep ringing up asking to change your password. So if you put your password in here and what you want it changed to, we'll do them as a job lot.
No. Everybody's password.
I have seen that. I don't know if that's a joke or not.
I think it's got to be a spoof, hasn't it?
I would hope so. But yeah. You know, but again, you know, we're all human, and to her is human. So people do these things, and they write them down. You see it on post-it notes. The thing that we try to do is a big part of what we try to do is educate people around, you know, protection of their data and, you know, taking very simple steps. I do have to mention that actually, while I think on that point, is that, you know, we are to that fact, we're running a couple of events, which is, you know, people are welcome to come to if you want to look at the bunker. The first event is on the 5th of February, at the bunker.
It's worth going.
It's a great place to visit if you're interested in an understanding what is security, what does security look like. But it's also useful to go along if you are an organization that takes credit cards and such, because we will focus on organizations at small, medium and enterprise, looking at how you can secure your payment cards and such.
Okay.
But we're also running an event on the 12th of February as well, and that's at Newbury. And that's going to be more around just general sort of advice and guidance on cybersecurity, so that people, again, can learn some very simple steps. And we'll be covering things such as security frameworks so they can be protected. And we will talk absolutely about passwords. And we've got some great ideas on how you can actually better prepare yourself for this modern world that we live in, which is asking you to have 100 different passwords for 1,000 different accounts.
And are you supposed to keep changing these passwords or not? I've heard different things.
Yeah, well, the best advice is don't force yourself to change passwords on a regular basis. I know that there used to be advice that would say every 30 days you should change your passwords, etc. Exactly. So what's going to happen is you're just going to write down your password as being, you know, Jules 1, Jules 2, Jules 3, and you're just going to have a pattern. So the advice is really is to keep alive to understanding what are your accounts that are out there. So if you have 100 accounts, so the advice I would give anyone right here and right now is after this show is to sit down with a piece of paper and write down all the places that they have a password. not write down the password, but write down the places that you have a password. And then once you've done that, you can then start to say, right, okay, what email accounts am I using to log into these places? And then if you do wish, but I would burn the piece of paper afterwards or destroy it securely, is write down the passwords that you have for those particular accounts. So you can see what your level of exposure actually is. Mm. And then from there, you can then start to rank them in terms of, you know, these are really critical. This is my bank account. This is my business account. This is my shopping compared to your Facebook account and such. And then you can risk rank them. Mm. Once you've done that, you then should keep an eye on those particular platforms, because if Facebook is suddenly in the press because they've been hacked, then is the time to change your password for Facebook or for, you know, the bank that you're with or whoever.
You're absolutely right. I got a real scare. I got an email, and the subject line of the email was actually half my password for my bank account. And it was a spoof email, and I panicked when I first saw it. Oh Christ, they've got my account email, password for my account. And then I realised that the bank was the wrong bank. Yeah, so they actually hadn't. They just somehow or another lucked. It was only half my password anyway. But just to be on the safe side, I went and changed my bank password in any case. But so there's kind of so many points of attack, Gary. It's hard to know where to start. But at the moment, what's the big... We need to look out for everything, I realise that. But what's the big things that's happening at the moment? Where is the current point of attack happening most that we need to look out for?
It's the human. Well, where to start? It's the human. It's the... we talk about, in technical terms, we call it the end point. You know, this is where computers are being hacked and such. But in actual fact, the end point of any network is the person.
Yeah.
So it's the people who are most vulnerable, and they're the ones that we should be looking to improve their knowledge and understanding of cybersecurity. So, you know, phishing attacks, you know, we've mentioned it several times. Yeah. You know, being bombarded with these emails almost on a daily basis, it's hard to find sometimes which ones are real and which ones aren't. And it's really just being on the lookout. But, you know, your staff aren't going to know what to be on the lookout for unless you tell them.
Yeah.
So you have to arm your staff with the knowledge that, you know, there is a likelihood that they will have phishing attacks. You need to inform your customers that you wouldn't email them with a request to change your bank details or to pay a different account and such.
Yeah.
So it's really just making sure that people are aware that this is humans using technology to do bad things to other humans.
Yeah.
So the technology is only part of the problem and also only part of the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to focus a little bit now on the kinds of things that are happening, because a lot of people can get confused about this. For instance, my major website, Jobs in Kent, we got attacked the other day with a DDoS attack. We saw it happening. We sat there. You know, there's not a lot you can do, but we were fairly secure, luckily. But we see it happening, and you have to kind of wait for it to stop, really. For those that don't know, it's a denial of service attack where somebody just sends thousands and thousands of logon requests all at one stage. And as a fairly prominent website, you get those quite often.
And what's the purpose of them doing that?
Just to be annoying,
really?
Basically.
Well, yeah, I mean...
There must be a reason. Why would they do it?
Well, they're typically, again, the thing about cybersecurity is, yes, it's a highly technical area, but there's a lot of human motivation behind this. So quite often there's a monetary basis to it. So it could be that they will bombard your website with traffic, so it brings the site down. It could be that one of your competitors has paid them to do that. It could be because they are going to say, look, we took your website down for a day. Was that painful? If you don't pay us X amounts of pounds, we will take your site down for a week or for a month.
Yeah.
And it's all about ransom. It's blackmail. Yeah. It's about money. It's a business. And I would hasten to add that, cyber criminals who operate, you know, they don't really care who you are. You know, they don't care if you're
emotions.
Have emotions, but they don't know, literally, more often than not, they don't know who you are. They don't know you're just one person. They don't know if you're 10,000. They just simply look for the low-hanging fruit. They are a business, and they're looking to exploit those people who aren't prepared. So distributed denial of service is a great example of there are tools out there which you can get hold of, which will allow you to take down a website relatively easily. I wouldn't advise anyone to do it. It's clearly against the law. But with relative ease, you can do it. And then it's a revenue stream. And that's the reason why they do it.
Yeah. The radio station some years ago got hacked as well. We're a WordPress site and we didn't have all the full security in place in the early days, and somebody got into the website and it was a mob called the Pakistani Music Massive, and they substituted everything on our site with Bakari music. Yeah. And then they sent us a demand of £10,000 to give the site back. And we said, no, actually, the music's better than we were playing, so we just go with that, if that's all right.
Yeah.
And they went away eventually. But
yeah. So, again, you know, these organisations, these individuals who are performing these acts, you know, they some of them could be for monetary value, some of them just purely for what's called lulls, just for laughs, just to prove that they can.
Yeah.
Again, it's a game of cat and mouse. So you were asking earlier about, you know, the kind of attacks that we see. Phishing is absolutely, you know, I would say is almost the number one mechanism for organizations and individuals to be defrauded, to have the information stolen. The next, of course, is your website. That is, as we all know, is your shop front. So we see quite often sites being tested like that. So is your website protected? Is it behind a cloud? Is it in a good environment, a secure environment, like the bunker, of course, that protects it from that kind of attack? So making sure that you're covering your bases so that your shop front is is secure by updating WordPress, if that's what you're using, etc.
Yep.
They're the kinds of things. These are the minimum kind of steps that organisations need to be taking, because if you don't, then you are likely to become the next victim. Unless you're very, very unlucky, it's unlikely that cyber criminals are going to target you. They're not going to look for an organisation in Kent or in Yorkshire or whatever. It is literally a scan across the entire country to see which systems are open, who hasn't closed their front door, who hasn't locked their front door, and they are going to become the next victims. And again, if they haven't trained their staff, they are likely to become the next victim.
Cool. So we're kind of approaching the end of the show, and I want to cover a few other things. As an organisation, Cyberfort, presumably you can help us as organisations put in place as much protection as we can.
Yes.
And that's one of the main things that you do, is to come and look at our websites or our email systems or whatever it is we're looking at and say, listen, you're vulnerable here. You need to do this. You need virus protection there. You need malware protection there.
Correct.
As an organization, and I'm kind of guessing I might know the answer to this question. Do you also get called by people that it's too late, they've been hacked or they've been compromised in some way, who go, help, I don't know what to do now?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. Sadly, I would say over the last years, it's increased in those kinds of calls. At least now, once a week, we will have an email or a call from somebody who has had an attack. They have been breached and they're literally throwing their hands in the air saying, we've been hit with ransomware, you know, all our systems are now encrypted in the hands of the bad guys.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do. Or we've had our accounts taken over.
Yep.
Or we've lost, you know, tens of thousands of pounds in some cases. And at that point, as Cyberfort, we will wrap our arms around you. We will offer you advice and guidance, and we will do our best to help you get your systems back up and running. But, you know, prevention is always better than cure.
Absolutely.
But you're absolutely right. You know, for us, it's all about offering advice and guidance. Cyber is at the heart of what we do. We're not an IT company. We're a cyber security company.
Yeah, because it's much broader than IT now as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, back in the day, passwords and all that nonsense was just something IT did. And, you know, but...
Well, I mean, you know, we've not mentioned the B word, but I want to mention the G word. So good old GDPR, you know, everyone was running in fear of it. The biggest fine to date under GDPR regulation has been to a pharmacy, and they were fined because of the fact that they kept physical files in an unlocked cabinet that was accessible by anybody.
Wow.
So that's physical documents, and they were fined a lot of money. And right. I'm going to leave it with that and just say to you, just Google pharmacy GDPR fine.
Right.
See what amount of money that is.
And so then, he's doing it right away. Look.
So you'll find yourselves looking at that and thinking, okay, this is nothing to do with technology. This is to do with physical data. Security. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Data. Yeah. What? How am I protecting my data?
We've had a tweet from Terry Roffey, who is an alarm specialist, burglar security, and he's listening to you with interest.
Great.
He says, and yeah. I'm watching you, actually.
Fantastic. I have a face for radio, but it's important to recognise the physical security, the physicality of data. You know, when you're sat on a train, you know, you listen to people talking around you, thinking that they're in a bubble and they'll be talking about meetings that they've had or, you know, they'll be on the laptops and you can see their screens quite clearly. That, you know, that is data security. It's that protecting of that personal data or the company data. And we often say to people, just think about the data that you are leaking on a daily basis and think about how you can protect it. And physical security, alarms, having gates in place, all of these things, perimeter defences, as well as having technical defences is just as important as, you know, having the firewalls and having your malware protection and all these sorts of things. Absolutely need to have those and keep them up to date. But we need to think about physical data as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a tweet, and I'm going to kind of throw this very quickly open to everybody because we're almost out of time. It's from Diamond Circle Weddings, and they said, Paul, we were watching Politics Live earlier today, and there was a minister on that said there's going to be three different internets. An American internet, which is like a corporate thing. A European internet, which is community-based, really. And a Chinese government-controlled internet. What do you think?
No.
No. No, no. That's my
instinct. It's been talked about for a while. Sir Tim Berners-Lee, the person who invented the internet, pretty much, said it would be great to go back to a place where we could recreate the internet and make it more secure. It was never meant to be secure. It was meant for knowledge sharing.
It was open.
Trump, as President Trump, has said that he would like to create this sort of two-tier level of the internet. I don't think it's likely to happen, I'll be perfectly honest, because I just think, I just don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. Before the internet, we had closed networks. I used to build them. That was what my job was. Mm. And that was okay, but you couldn't talk to anyone else. And that's the whole point of the internet. It's open. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's an open system. That's the whole point of it. It has no control. It has no stops to it. It's open. Yeah. So I agree with Gary.
I mean, if you want to take it to where we are already, there is different levels of the internet.
Yeah,
you
have dark internet.
You have the dark web, you have the deep web, you have the surface web, which we all know and love. The dark web can only be accessed by a special browser or special browsers. So there is two levels already. I think from a general worldwide perspective, I don't think it'll ever happen.
No, I agree. Cool. Just give us a shout out again, Gary, for your next two events in Sandwich and in Newbury.
So the next one is on the 5th of February at the Bunker, and we'll be talking about everything to do with payment cards and how to secure your business if you do take those kinds of that kind of information, and indeed to be. Be honest with you, much broader than that. If you ever give your information, it would be good to know how people are protecting it. The next one is on the 12th of February, and that one is down in Newbury. All of this information you can find on our website. It's cyberfortgroup.com. So you'll be able to find all the information on there, as well as lots of resources that help people understand this fantastic world in which we're living in.
Fantastic. And give us a shout out again for your website, just so that we know, so they can find out everything.
So that's cyberfortgroup.com.
Fantastic.
My Yorkshire accent hopefully didn't.
No, you've got it.
In fact, he's not Yorkshire enough. I'm a bit disappointed, really.
He's posh Yorkshire.
Yeah, he's posh Yorkshire.
there is a link to Cyber4 on the Kent Business Radio website as well, and that will stay there forever. Do you know what I really need to do at some point, Gary? I need to come to the Bunker and do an outside broadcast of the Bunker from the Bunker.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think you'd enjoy it. I think it would be good. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for that, Gary. We're fast approaching the end of the show. I need to find out some information, so you can read something very quickly, Jules.
You always say this to me, and I've practically done all mine, but there's Help the Bridge the Gap Between Schools and Businesses. Over a quarter of FSB members say that finding appropriately skilled staff is still the biggest challenge to business growth. And they say that we're working with the government to make it easier for small businesses to get involved in inspiring young people about apprenticeships and the world of work. And in Kent, say the FSB, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through the Skills 3030. And it's a two-hour event, and businesses hear from local authority and relevant recruitment groups while the students take part in an employment-related workshop. And then both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. Join in to find out about the local developments and share your business advice and expertise with students. So the next one's I Hear You Cry, when is it? It's the 12th of Feb, and it's at St George's in Broadstairs. And also there's one in the 3rd of June, which is at the 100 Who Academy. That's H-O-O. Sounds a bit like an owl, doesn't it? 100 Who Academy. And then on the 8th of July, diary date, at the Maskells School in Paddock Wood. So to find out more, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30, and you can book your place there. That's Help Bridge the Gap Between Schools and Businesses.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I think we're just about at the end of the show. Do tune in on Friday for our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And her co-host this week is Richard Bell. And her guests on the show are Linda Garcia and Deb Sen. So do tune in. That's 11 o'clock here on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on Friday, 11 o'clock, with Amanda Flanders and the team on the Bunker Extra Show. But I want to say a massive thank you to today's show's guests, the lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. Thank you, Zoe.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And the equally lovely Gary Hibbard.
Thank you very much.
Posh Yorkshireman of Cyberfort. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on. Thank you all for participating. There are 67 tweets that I haven't read yet. I'm really sorry we didn't get round to them, but we will try and read them some other time. Thank you for that. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your emails. We'll be back with another show next week. In the interim, have a fantastic week. Stay safe. Stay secure. But if you get into trouble, call Gary.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.